Morning, everyone. I'd like to just mention something coming up next Sunday. It's our 105th anniversary Sunday, and we're having Dr. Lawson Murray, president of Scripture Gift Mission Canada and Scripture Union Canada, with us, not only for the worship time at 11, but we're going to have the younger children will have their regular Sunday school at 9:45, but the junior and senior high youth and the adult classes will all meet in fellowship room up on the second floor. And Dr. Murray is going to teach a combined class about a project called the Bible Study Challenge, encouraging daily searching of the scriptures and application of the scriptures to our lives. And he's bringing a tool called Bible Engagement Basics. It's available for $5 if you want to purchase a copy. So plan, if you're able at all, to join us upstairs on the second floor, 9:45 next Sunday, May 5th, and then, of course, in our worship service at 11 o'clock. Now we're turning to the Resurrection Day and the days that followed, and zeroing in on one of the disciples named Thomas, moving beyond being a doubting Thomas. You've probably heard of Thomas being called doubting Thomas. What is your personality? A.A. Milne has, in years gone by, wrote books about a teddy bear called Winnie the Pooh. But in the books, you have two other characters that stand out. Tigger and Eeyore, okay? How many of you think you're a Tigger? Well, how many think you're an Eeyore? Well, you have to answer that question. As I was growing up, I heard these words many, many times. Snap out of it, Robert. Snap out of it right now. And that was my mother speaking, because I was more like an Eeyore. I was mainly quiet, introvert, still I am, but it took it to another level as a non-Christian, being moody, sullen, and pouting, and depressed. So whether you're a Tigger or an Eeyore, you can still be a spirit-filled Christian. But when we have a tendency to be like an Eeyore in our temperament, a melancholy type of temperament, we have to just examine ourselves day by day, hour by hour, even more so, and deal with that. Jesus is he wept when he went into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, but he said, I speak these words unto you that my joy might be with you and that your joy might be full. God the Father has anointed Jesus with the oil of joy above his companions. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. And we're called in Scripture, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice is a command, no matter what our temperament or personality is. So we're going to look at how God helped and how Jesus helped Thomas, despite his personality and temperaments, to move beyond just staying apart from the other disciples and wallowing in pity and doubt. Look at verse 24 of John chapter 20, page 1088 in the Pew Bible. Now, this is the first day of the week. Jesus had appeared to most of the disciples that evening in the upper room. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord, verse 20. They were overjoyed. And Thomas missed out, because we read in verse 24, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means twin, obviously he's a twin. We don't know the other twin's name. One of the 12 was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Now, I'm going to suggest to you, Thomas was not having a birthday party with his twin brother that night. He might have been. He might have had other legitimate engagements. But my my suggestion to you is that Thomas allowed his temperament to get the upper hand. How do we know that his temperament is that way? Well, go back to John chapter 11. You don't have to turn to it. But Jesus is up in Galilee, and he hears that his friend Lazarus is sick. He stays a couple days extra. Then he's going to go back to Judea. You're going back to Judea? Didn't the people say they're going to stone you? What are you doing? No, my friend Lazarus is sick. I'm going to go to wake him up. Oh, no, if he's sick, he'll get better. Well, they found out later he's dead. But Tom, what does Thomas say? Let's go that we might die with him. It's all over. Eeyore is me. Woe is me. Well, sometimes Thomas's analytical mind produces some of the most wonderful scripture passages of all. Jesus, the night before he went to the cross, let not your hearts be troubled. Stop letting your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am you may be also. And Thomas, what did he say? Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then that wonderful verse, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So without Thomas's words there, we might never have had John 14:6 to memorize and drink in and apply to our lives and in our message to others. But the challenge is this: when you are feeling down and disappointed, don't give up meeting with God's people. And I'm speaking in one sense to the choir. There's people perhaps that stayed home this morning because they're depressed or discouraged or God didn't come through in the midst of their expectations and hopes. We need to try to give them a phone call or an email or a visit. I don't know who they are necessarily specifically this morning, and that's why it's important for all of us to be accountable to one another. If Leo goes for 4 weeks to Ukraine, you know what he does? He tells a number of other people where he's going and how long he'll be away. Praise the Lord for Leos, okay? And we need to all be like that to be accountable, because if Leo doesn't say that, I might think he's sitting at home wallowing in discouragement, okay? So if you're going to go away for a number of weeks, let people know so we can be accountable. And then if you're not letting us know, let's as a congregation go after the regulars that we haven't seen for a number of weeks and try to help them to overcome being like a doubting Thomas. And Thomas missed out on that first resurrection evening because, in despair, he cut himself off from interacting with the other disciples. Let us not give up meeting together as the manner of some is, but let us encourage one another, and all the more so as we see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And then we need to talk to ourselves in a right way, like the psalmist, Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Put your hope in God. I shall yet praise him for the health of my countenance and my God. So do a little self-therapy there in rehearsing Psalm 42. Question, why am I so discouraged? Why am I down? Put your hope in God. And then we need a team of people to help us. Something happened this past week. I sent an email to the other elders. Could you pray about this? Can you help me have wisdom? Some of the other elders helped me deal with something that came up this week. We need one another. We need to bear one another's burdens and help one another. Well, next Sunday night, skip ahead. It's the eighth day after the resurrection, it's a whole week after the resurrection. of Jesus. Verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Okay, so that's good news for Thomas. So at least to his credit, in the midst of his disappointments, he probably had some of the other disciples say, Thomas, you missed out last Sunday night. Jesus appeared, and he's appeared to some of the women. You got to get back with the program, Thomas. So to the other disciples' credit, they probably went after him, as just as we need to go after the absentee or the discouraged person in our midst. So that's to Thomas' credit that he showed up that next Sunday night. But nevertheless, he still doesn't believe. He's there, and maybe he'd been saying this all week. Maybe he said this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So maybe they said, well, Jesus appeared last Sunday night. Why don't you join us Sunday night? Maybe Jesus will appear again. We don't know the discussion, but at least Thomas finally got back together with the other disciples. And having said that, he's still struggling. I need to see things with my eyes, or I'm not going to believe. But we see Jesus stoops to his weakness. Jesus appears, and he's known all about Thomas's discussion of the previous week. And so he says, peace be with you. And Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas is on his face, my Lord and my God. I've used this verse to talk to many Jehovah's Witnesses over the years who don't believe in the deity of Christ. They don't believe that Jesus is God. And I said, was Thomas swearing? It's good to ask Jehovah's Witnesses questions. Because if you quote them a verse, they'll quote one. You quote one. So ask them questions that they haven't been programmed yet to answer with their verse. And so, was Thomas swearing? A Jewish person who reverenced God wouldn't be taking the name of God in vain. And so that's a good question to ask them. But he wasn't swearing. He recognized this man before him was God himself in human flesh, and he needed to bow the knee to Jesus and believe. Jesus, though, says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So the challenge to Thomas and to us is don't demand the visual and external from God. Live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He or she who believes is going to be rewarded. But Jesus stoops to Thomas's weakness. And nevertheless, Jesus does scold Thomas, and Thomas experiences Christ's grace in a special way. Don't demand the visual and external from God. Live by faith. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet who have believed. We're not promised dramatic visions. We're not promised dramatic miracles. Yes, God can do anything. He can raise the dead. He could appear in this room. He could appear to you in a dream or a vision, and many people testify of that around the world as Jesus is drawing people to himself. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. When there's no miracle, when there's no dramatic answer, when we're struggling, I was thinking of those verses we've been singing, weeping in the night, struggling in the fight, may we still worship a God. And so Thomas, to his credit, does join the disciples in the days that followed, and he gets with the program. John 21:2, about a couple weeks after Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples are at the Sea of Galilee, and they're about to go fishing, and notice who was there. John 21, 2. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus. He was there. Acts chapter 1, you turn the page. Yeah, they're up in the room, upper room, praying after Jesus' ascension in Bethany, 2 kilometers to the east. And notice chapter 1, verse 13 of Acts. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, and so on. Okay, so he's back with the program. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, and he along with the other apostles, goes forth into all the world to proclaim the gospel. And there's historical evidence that Thomas proclaimed the gospel of India in the years that followed and was martyred there for Christ in AD 72. Wow. Thomas didn't allow his failures to have the final word. And praise God that my failures do not have to have the final word. Don't allow your failures to have the final word. Get back with God's people and the fulfillment of Christ's great commission. Many in our North American culture are very individualistic, self-absorbed. Others are lonely, perhaps socially awkward, perhaps shy. Some perhaps are intentionally self-absorbed to their own detriment. But God calls his people to step out of that mindset and become an active catalyst in God's bigger plan, the Church of Christ, a living, active body both locally and universally. So join hands and hearts with God's people. Be active in a local church such as this. Go and make disciples of all nations, even if it is across the street or across the hallway. Move from pessimism to optimism as we participate in Christ's local church and in the fulfillment of Christ's great commission. When some of us were at the recent Feb Central Convention, some of us went to one of the seminars that talked about moving out as a church and getting the people of our community in. And it was interesting. The fellow that was doing the teaching, Steve Adams, lead pastor at Forward Church in Cambridge, put on a commercial by President's Choice. And it just really resonated with me that there's a lot of application to this. So if we could have the lights, just a two-minute President's Choice commercial, and then I'll make a couple comments about it. Thank you. found that so challenging. We can be praying about our outreach barbecue. So many times I talk to people and they say, why don't we have small groups? Why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? And I just talked to somebody just this past week. Well, come to prayer meeting tonight. Join a small group. We might not have small groups at the moment in homes, but come to prayer meeting. What? And it was like I was speaking about something that existed on another planet. Why don't you come to the men's breakfast this Saturday morning, which was this past Saturday morning? Why would I do that? And so that was a deep challenge that we as a church who name the name of Christ, each of us, to get over our pessimism, our individualistic spirit, and to say, come and join me, come on over and have a meal with me, or let's connect. And so may we imitate Thomas to not let that pessimism and moodiness have the final word, to say, yeah, I'll join the disciples on Sunday night. I'll go to the upper room and pray with the others. And then I'll go to the ends of the earth with the gospel. And may God so move all of us to participate in God's great plan. God has a table. Jesus has a table. It's the Lord's table. And so may we fellowship at the table now as we remember Christ's death that made fellowship, the deepest fellowship possible.